remember verse 1 and chapter 9, because this is an important thing. Then verily, or truly, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And this is where it makes the point, it's about the outside, a worldly sanctuary. Right? A worldly sanctuary. Now, going to toward the end of the chapter, for it tells us that Christ, he didn't enter into the worldly sanctuary to deposit his sacrifice. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true. Now, this right here is the centerpiece verse of all we're discussing, if you look at it. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, the pictures, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Jesus only had to go in there once. For then he must have suffered, if he did it over and over again, then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world. Now keep this in mind with that first verse. Then verily the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Compare it with this verse 26. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, if he would do it every year, you know. But now, once at the end of the world. The end of the world. Think about what that means. The end of the physical is what we're talking about. Now, once at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is an interesting point, and I want you to keep this in mind as we go on. Jesus' sacrifice not only rids us of sin, right? Not only brings us righteousness, but rids sin, period, by condemning it with the world. You've got to see a figure. You remember where we talked about in Romans chapter 8? That sin is condemned in sinful flesh. Now remember how this works. Alright? And because this figure of what's going on with you now is a figure for everything. You're a microcosm. You're a picture of the whole. Your body has been condemned because of the sin in it. Right? The only way to rid your body of the sin is for your body to die and suffer the destruction in the grave so that the sin nature dies. The body having been dissolved in such a fashion. Corrupted. Your spirit is what has been reconciled to God now. The body cannot be redeemed. In other words, reconstituted until the sin nature is dead. The way the sin nature is destroyed is the body it's in is destroyed by breaking the soul. The soul is the union of body and spirit together. The destruction of the soul is the spirit going to be with Jesus, right, in that reconciliation, and the body going into the ground. That's how the soul is broken. The union is broken. So that the soul, all it has to grab onto, to hold in union, is the body. But even the body is lost in that destruction of the grave, right? So basically that soul loses its power. It loses its life. It's very life's blood. Because the union can only exist if there are things in union with it. Right? Now, look what it says about Jesus. For then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Think of the world as being the body. Right? We are the people who live in this world. We're like the spirit. We will be redeemed and the world destroyed. And the world destroyed, guess what? Sin with it. Another union is broken. Our union to the physical. Our marriage to the physical. With your body being destroyed, your marriage to the physical is over. With the world being destroyed, wow, everything physical. So Jesus' sacrifice not only redeems us according to the Spirit, but it destroys us according to sin. By destroying everything that is sinful. That's the power of the sacrifice of Jesus. See, by identifying with us in sin and allowing us to identify with him in life, he has, and this is what's beautiful, what gave him the right to submit the world to destruction? It's the same thing that gave him the right in his own flesh as a man. By submitting to the will of God, he submitted his body to God's will, and therefore to the grave, right? You must submit your part in this to him. The world is submitted to him by him fulfilling the law. That's what gives him the right to lay it down. Jesus laying down his body on the cross is a picture of him laying down the physical. Period. It shows that he has the right to submit it to destruction. See, we always focus on the part where we are submitted to righteousness and hope and life. And eternity. We focus on that good part for ourselves. But notice that in the cause of this, physical creation is submitted to destruction by the same sacrifice. How many of you can see that? Can you see him dying in the body, him putting his body to death, him submitting it to God's will that it should pass away? Right? That's a picture of him submitting the physical to the grave. That means everything. His body pictures everything that he submitted, including us. Death not being able to hold him according to the Spirit when he rose, because he was innocent. In spite of what he submitted,